Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Over here in Matthew chapter 2, it says in verse 1, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to get something from him.'" No, we've come to worship him. Think about that statement. They've come from a far land. They've traveled on these dusty roads. And they've come for this purpose, they said, to worship him. To worship him. Verse 7. "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Now notice, here, the Bible says a lot in these few verses about worship. It was the very purpose for these wise men coming to Jesus, to find Jesus. They came that they might worship him. Of course, Herod the king, he was lying about it, but he said that he also wanted to worship him. And then when these wise men came and saw Jesus, man, they fell down, and they worshiped him. Now, worship in our culture today is really a foreign thing. People really don't understand worship in our culture today. So a lot of people don't really identify, and I'm talking about Christians, when we read about worship, these men falling down and worshiping, a lot of people really don't connect with it. They don't identify with it. And when we're talking about culture, we're talking about the customs or traditions of a society. It's in the way people dress. It's in the way people talk, how they talk, the way they carry themselves. Like I said, it's just an overall attitude of a particular society. Well, we don't have a society that really worships. We don't have a culture of worship. Heaven has its own culture, and it is a culture of worship. How many people know they worship in heaven? Yeah, notice this over in Revelation chapter 4. Pick it up here in verse 8. John, the apostle, is having a vision of heaven, and he sees the throne of God, and he sees these four living creatures. Verse 8, "each having six wings, full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" Notice, they don't rest day or night. This just keeps going all the time. This is going on in heaven. chapter, let's go on, verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Chapter 5, verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. That's what we say a lot around here, huh? See, it's a culture thing. See, why do they talk like that in church? You know, we don't do that anywhere else. Why do we? Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Why do we hear that a lot in church? Well, it's the culture of heaven. And Jesus said that the Father's will should be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, God wants what's going on in heaven to be happening here on the earth. We got to take hold of the culture that's up in heaven and not just conform to the culture that is all around us here in this world. We're the salt of the earth. We're here to change things. We're to bring this culture of worship right here to the people of the earth, right here in America. And notice this worship. It is intense. It is radical. And people are lifting their voices and falling down. You'll see that over and over again when we talk about worship. You'll see people falling down and worshiping. The wise men fell down and worshiped. These elders fell down and worshiped. Again, verse 14. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. We jump over to chapter 7. There's more we could cover, but I'm just kind of jumping around. Just looking at heaven a little bit. Chapter 7, verse 9. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice. Everybody say a loud voice. Saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Chapter 11, we're renewing our mind to heaven, heaven's way of thinking, heaven's way of, how are people expecting to go to heaven? Well, then we better get ready. You know, a lot of people, they die, I'm talking about Christians, you know, they die, they never really got their minds renewed with the Word of God, and then they died, and they went to heaven, and a lot of them have had culture shock. You know, because they got up there, it was just completely different. I just believe a lot of them just have had absolute culture shock, just in shock and awe. You know, they just got an angel's got to take them by the hand and just guide them over to the Crystal River, you know, and dunk them a few times and try to help them to break out of that shock. That's not supposed to be. Glory to God. We leave this body, we're going to step out of our body and go, glory to God. Everybody's in heaven, we're going to hear everybody in heaven go, glory to God. And we're all just going to shout together. It's just what we've been doing. We were doing it on earth, and praise God, we're going to continue on doing it in heaven. We'll just have more people doing it with us. Right? Everybody say, glory to God. Chapter 11, verse 16. Says, and the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Notice how they magnify the Lord. And then finally, let's go to chapter 19. And in verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, amen, alleluia, alleluia. And again, you look at this and you think, you know, this how people would say this is a pretty radical shift from the way they're used to praising and worshiping God, or the way they do things. Well, like even here at church, or churches in general, what we call praise and worship many times is kind of like a concert. It's kind of like entertainment. We treat it that way. And why is that? Because that's the culture of our society. That's the culture that's all around us. This pop culture that you and I have been brought up in this world is all about entertainment. It's all about music. It's all about celebrities. That's what it's all about in this world. And so when you are partaking of that culture all the time, it becomes the way you do things. You just take on that attitude. You just take on that mode of thinking. And so when we come over here and we go to worship God, we're going to worship him. It begins to look a lot like a concert. We stand, or like entertainment, and we're just kind of watching the musicians. We're just kind of watching, we're observing, a little hallelujah, praise God once in a while. But do we see this kind of thing taking place in churches generally, where people are falling down? They're bowing down. Now, in some other countries where they worship idols, where they worship false gods, and we know that behind every false god is a demon spirit. Demon spirits are behind all these false religions, all these false gods. And the devil makes sure his kids, his worshipers, worship him radically. He's got them bowing down. There's some nations where the culture of that society is to bow down several times a day, where the people stop, they get on their knees, and they bow in worship. And it's not to Jesus. It's not to the living God. It's to a false god. If they bow down, they take time out of their day, every day. It's a part of their culture. How much more should you and I, as Christians who have come to know the living God, we know him by experience. We know him by revelation. We know he's real. This isn't just a tradition passed down to us. We've had a personal encounter with the living God, and he has come to live on the inside of us. We have his Holy Spirit living in us, leading us, guiding us. We have his word giving us all these exceedingly great and precious promises. Promises of eternal life. Promises of divine health. Promises of divine protection. I mean, we got this amazing God. And if people that serve and worship false gods can fall down and worship it, how much more you and I? How much you and I? And you and I are to be renewing our mind to the culture of heaven. That's why God has given us his word. That's why we see these things that we just read. That's why we have this insight into heaven. Because God's saying, now this is how it is up here. This is my will. This is normal. This is the way it's supposed to be. And so we get our minds renewed to the word, and then we begin to act upon the things that we're seeing in the Bible. We begin to act upon the truth. Notice over in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Some people thankful for the word. God teaches us and transforms our lives through his word. As we feed on the word, as we study the word, as we look into the word and begin to act upon it, we begin to act like spiritual people, not just earthly people. We don't just act like Americans, we act like heavenly beings. We act like the place that we believe we belong to. We act like the place that we believe we're going to. I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe that. So I believe that's my real home. I believe that you and I as Christians are what the Bible says we are. We're just pilgrims passing through this place. We're just on assignment. We're going through this place. And we're here to be being trained to live a life of faith, to be more like the Lord Jesus, and to gather other people to come with us. Other people who are currently not going to heaven. We want them to come to heaven with us. I just got word this morning through a text that my cousin just suddenly had a heart attack and died. His wife came in. This happened just last night. Wife came in, and the sink, he was standing over the sink when it happened. The water was still running in the sink, and he was on the floor, and he's gone. And just like his dad, my uncle, for as far as I know, they did not know the Lord. And they weren't very open to the gospel. So where are they now? There is a real heaven to gain, and there is a real hell to shun, to avoid. And through faith in Jesus, thank God, we know we're going to heaven. We know we're going to heaven. And you can only hope that something happened that we don't know about where he found the Lord and got things right with him. I haven't been in touch with him in quite a while, so I don't know. I don't know. You just got to trust God with those things. But thank God that you can know that you have eternal life. Now, he didn't know. He didn't know. He's at the sink. He had no idea that he was going to suddenly depart from this life. But he did. Now he's over in eternity. You know, people many times they go through this life as though, you know, God is not that important. They could do a lot of things without him. But then when a person dies, it's all about God. It's all about God. It's all about heaven and God and those things that really matter. Well, that's how it needs to be with us right now. We need to live that way. We need to understand God is all that matters. And he is to be our everything, our life, our breath. He's given us life. He is to be our strength. He's to be our help. He's to be our everything. We need to be completely dependent upon him for everything. And I believe that's what that falling down symbolizes. When a person falls down and worship, it's like, I can't even stand on my own. I cannot stand in my own strength. I can do nothing of myself. I'm completely totally weak and frail and empty apart from you, God. And they just throw themselves down to demonstrate that. Not only to God, but to themselves. God is so good. He blesses us so good. He gives us a good work in mind. He takes care of us. He heals us. He strengthens us. And if we're not careful, we can think that we're good in and of ourselves. Because God isn't sitting here bragging. God's not standing here saying, I've given you X amount of breaths today. And I kept you from that car wreck coming over here. And God's not spelling everything out to us. But we need to spell it out to ourselves. We need to speak up and declare how good he is and what he's doing for us. How he's given me life and he's maintaining my life. He's keeping me going. Of myself, I could do nothing. Boom, on my face. I can't stand. I can't walk. I can do nothing apart from you, God. That's what that expression is saying. That's what that falling down is saying. And we need to be saying it all the time, because number one, he's worthy. And number two, we need to see ourselves and remind ourselves that he's worthy. We need to be reminding ourselves constantly that he is worthy, and of ourselves, we can do nothing. He makes us to stand. He helps us. He puts us over. You know, so many times, you know, you just take the credit, think, man, I did a good job, man. I did this, I did that, and I overcame this, and, you know, I've picked myself up by my bootstraps, and, man, I got this job, and I promoted, I got this business, and I've promoted, and I've done this, and I've accomplished this, and the more people accomplish, the more inflated they get. I went to college and I studied and I got this degree, and then I went on and I did this, and look, I'm like the best in my profession. I'm like number whatever. And all the while, God's the one orchestrating it. God's the one guiding them and helping them. He's the one inspiring them. He's the one that's helping them to think straight. He's the one that put the call and the gifts in them. There's a lot of stuff you were already good at when you were just an infant. It just wasn't developed yet, but God had already put all the necessary ability and equipment in you. And you are what you are today because of the grace of God, because of the ability of God. You think about this for a while, and then you start going, oh God, holy, 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 so awesome, so amazing. But if you don't think on these things, then it's about you and how well you've done and what you've accomplished, and you can do anything. You can do it. Shoot for the stars or shoot for the moon and you'll land on the stars, you know. You can do it. You can do it. And we got all these pep talks and all this motivational speaking. I got news for you today. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a preacher. I don't want to be a motivational speaker. I'm a preacher of the Word of God. And I do it by the Holy Spirit. Because of myself, I could not do it. I need him to do it right. I can get up here and do something intellectually, philosophically, and theologically. But it ain't going to produce life in anybody. It just might puff me up some more. And it might puff you up some more because you got some more information. But you don't need information. You need revelation. I said, you need revelation. That comes from the Spirit of God. So I speak by inspiration, and the Holy Spirit gives you inspiration, a revelation. He gives you revelation that brings about a transformation that you could never have done on your own. He transforms your life. So it isn't even about hearing the Word of God so that you could take what you heard today and change your life. You can't change your life. But God can, through the Word, transform your life as you believe it and yield to it. See, we don't take it and try to fix ourselves. You're not going to take this teaching today and try to fix yourself. You're going to believe it, yield to it, and the Holy Spirit is going to fix it. He's going to transform you. He does the work. But you got to yield to him. I said, you got to yield to him. You got to acknowledge him. You got to recognize how great he is, how awesome he is, how wonderful he is. Everybody say it with me, of myself, self, I can do nothing. I am completely dependent upon God. I need him for everything. Everything. And he's been with you through everything. And even though a lot of folks have lived a self-destructive, godless life, and they've sinned over and over and over, and what sin is? Sin is just self-destruction. That's all it is. Sin is bad for you. If you want to know what sin is, it's bad for you. That's what sin is. Sin is not bad for God. You don't sin and God die. No, you sin, you die. You sin, you cause death in your life. You destroy yourself. So we have to recognize that even with all the sin, God is still helping people back up, cleaning them up, trying to show them, stop doing that. Listen to the preacher. Turn over here. He convicts them. He deals with them. Tries to turn them in the right direction. He's working with people because his mercy is so great. Thank God for his mercy. His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Oh, how we've needed it. While we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. He came and gave his life for us. And he's still giving. He's not in the condemning business. He's not looking to destroy people. He's looking to save people. He's trying to fix things before their sin catches up to them and destroys them. Because that's what sin will do to a person. It will destroy them, ultimately. And it's not God's will. Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should repent. Turn to him. Come to him. That's why Jesus came. Jesus is God, packaged in flesh and blood. God in the flesh, born a human being into this world, came for the purpose of rescuing you and I. Came to save us, and he did it. He did it. He saved us. Went to the cross for us. Bore our sins. Took the penalty of our sins upon himself in order to save us, rescue us from Satan, from ourselves. Now we can just take ourselves, bring it to him and say, listen, I've tried this. And I'm not very good at it, but you're good at it. So here I am. And you throw yourself down at his feet. And you say, please, I know it looks like garbage. I know it, but take it. Take it. And he picks it up and he cleans it up and makes it beautiful, makes it wonderful, makes it incredible. And then we walk out and go, isn't me wonderful? Wonderful isn't me. And we forget. We can't let that happen. He picks us up. He cleans us up. You know? Some of you ladies, some guy walks up to you and say, you got such beautiful eyes. Don't just sit there and go, thank you. It's the mascara. No, it's the master. He set those suckers in your skull. He put them in there. Give him the glory. Give him the praise. Don't take the glory. Say, blessed be the Lord. I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with it. God put the thing in there. I don't even know how it works, but it works. Right? Give him the glory. Oh, I love your hair. Like you put it there. I mean, you might have dyed it a few different things, but God gave you the hair and the skill to know what to do with it. Right? He gets the glory for everything. He gets, they recognize that in heaven. And that's why heaven is such a happy place. Heaven is such a happy place. People are so happy in heaven. Why? Because people have been delivered from themselves. People aren't out there trying to make it. They're not out there trying to survive. I'm just trying to make it. I'm just trying to survive. No, they've taken themselves and they said, here I am. And they threw themselves down and said, pick me up, Jesus. Do something with it. Because you're the master. You're amazing. You got me this far. Finish the job. Finish the job, Lord. See, when you're giving him all the glory, then you're giving him all the cares. You're giving him all the worries. See? But as long as you're taking the glory, you're taking the cares and the worries. So you can always tell when you're taking the glory. You can always tell when you're taking the glory and worshiping yourself or worshiping the Creator rather than the Creator. It shows in your cares, in your worries, and your fears. As we get good at worship, we get good at giving all our cares, all our fears, all our worship, because he's the one that makes us work. And we know he does a good job. He does a good job. If we'll give it all to him, he will take care of it. And worship gives it all to him. Worship surrenders it all to him. Worship gives everything to God. Give your entire life to him. Falling down and worshiping him. Worship is being impressed and overcome in awe of the one you're worshiping. Impressed, overwhelmed, and in awe. Is there anything or anyone that we should be more impressed with and overwhelmed with than him? Nothing's greater. Nothing's more impressive. And yet people are overwhelmed by a lot of things. People are overwhelmed by a lot of things. People panic. And their panic reveals that they're impressed with something. They think something's greater than him. But when you recognize that he's bigger than all your problems and everything in this world, then there is no panic. Notice over in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13. In verse 4. This is talking about the last days, talking about these demonic entities, the beast and the dragon, as their illustrator described in the book of Revelation. It says in verse 4, so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, now watch what they say, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Notice that. Who is like him? Who is like the beast? See, they're falling down and they're worshiping demonic things. These people of the last days that are living in a period of time known as the Great Tribulation. This is the root of all tribulation. Idolatry. Idol worship. Being impressed with other things more than God. Who is like the beast? Who can compare? Who's greater than that? God? Is he not above it all? Is he not greater than all? See, when you come up against a trial or a test, you're going to be tempted to be impressed. When you fear something, fear is a part of worship. Fearing God is how we worship God. We fear him. We reverence him. We're afraid to do anything without him. We're totally dependent upon him. It's a scary thing to think of going through life without God. That's what we should be learning. That's what we should be discovering in the Word. That's what should be being revealed to us. It's a scary thing to go through my day without God. Go through my day without God, without faith in Him, without trusting Him. Man, that's scary. I fear that. I fear God. I fear living a life apart from Him. Because we depend on Him for everything. He's our victory. He's our success. He's the one that's going to help us get through whatever's going on in life. But people get into fear about a whole bunch of things. They fear not having enough money. Oh, we're going to go under without money. No, you're going to go under without God. Fear God. But they don't. They fear money. Oh, I got to have money. I got to get. And they tear apart their homes in fear because of money. Or a symptom in their body or some other kind of trial or test, whatever it might be. And they fear it. They fear it. In other words, they reverence it. They worship it. They're in awe of it. They're impressed by it. And I've learned to say, you know, when things have come up and people are tempted to panic and the situation looks dire, I've looked at it and said, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed. And it's amazing by saying those words how much rest immediately comes to your soul. So you got to speak correctly to things. You got to speak words of faith. You got to rise up and talk to those trials and tests that try to come at you. And I've just looked and said, I'm not impressed. Immediately I'm in rest. Why aren't I impressed? Because I'm too impressed with Him. I'm too in awe of Him. He's just too amazing. So you keep thinking about how amazing He is, and then everything else just pales in comparison. Everything else is just so little in comparison. See, it's all perspective. It's all perspective. How do you view yourself? How do you view your life? I'm in God. I'm in the hands of God. I'm before Him. Hallelujah. I'm in the hands, I'm in the care of Almighty God. No evil will befall me. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. Praise God, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Hallelujah. Do we believe that? Is He our shield? Is He bigger than the devil? Is He bigger than demon-possessed people? He's bigger than them all. He's bigger than them all. And as we get used to worship, as we get accustomed to worshiping God, and it needs to be our custom, as we do that, as we exalt Him more and more and more, we're going to find ourselves freer and freer and freer, free from cares, free from worry, free from fear. I'm too busy fearing God to fear anything else. Why don't you say that? Who could take you down? Margaret. No. You don't understand. You don't know who I'm married to. No. If God is for you, who? Who? Who could be against you? He's bigger. He's bigger. Talk about how big He is. When problems boast themselves great, you need to speak back to it and declare to it how great is your God. I serve God. He's an awesome God. He's bigger than you. Then it puts everything in perspective, in a proper perspective. It causes that mountain not to be so much of a mountain. And now you can deal with it. Now you can deal with it. I had people come to my office, you know, they need counseling. They're going through it, man. I mean, and it has been a problem that's been going on for years. Desperate for years. And it's just gotten worse. Now we're at desperate points now. We're at the breaking point. They come, they sit down in my office. And Jesus is there. His presence is there. I've been fellowshipping with Him. And we start talking a little bit about God and Jesus. And just a few minutes into the so-called counseling session, I've had him look at me. It's happened more than one time. I said, "Now, what's your problem?" "Well, tell you the truth, Pastor, I feel kind of silly about it. It just doesn't seem like that big of a deal." And they're trying to figure it out. "It doesn't seem like that big of a deal." And this is the thing, you understand, they had to meet with me. They had to get with me. We had to deal with this now. Now it's not that big of a deal. What happened? We became aware of him. I said we became aware of him. And that's what worship will do for you. You become more and more aware of him. You make yourself aware of him until you just naturally become aware of him. And then it becomes habitual to think about him and to be conscious of him and be aware of him and to talk about him. It becomes your culture. It becomes an attitude that you carry. It's the way you think. It's just who you are. And you walk in this culture of heaven saying things like, "Praise God, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so great. You're so good. Thank you, God. Thank you for that parking spot right here at Christmas time." And then when you get a parking spot that's way out here in left field, you say, "Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to exercise. You knew I needed to burn off that turkey dinner. You knew I needed to get that burned off. Thank you, Jesus. God is with me. God is with me. God is with me." Woo, hallelujah. Emmanuel, God is with us. I said he's with us. But you see here, during this time of tribulation, great tribulation, the people are more impressed with what the devil is doing than what God is doing. In fact, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse, and the people refused to worship God. They just continued to be more and more impressed with what the devil was doing, with all the evil things that were taking place in the world. And as a result of that, things just continue to get darker and darker and worse and worse. How do we change that? How do we make it so things don't keep getting worse and worse? Start worshiping God. Start worshiping God. Stop panicking and start praising. Stop whining and start worshiping. Whining is worship of the devil. You start whining and you're just yielding yourself to the enemy who's going to bring about nasty things in your life. We see that with the children of Israel. They came out of the wilderness. They were going through the desert. God was protecting them. There's all kinds of things in the desert that could kill them. But nothing's harming them. Nothing's hurting until they started whining. They started whining. And then as they whined and whined, we don't have enough water, and I'm tired of this food. I want something different. We had better things back in Egypt. We ate good in Egypt. And they're just whining and whining and whining. It says as they were whining, these serpents that were out there in the desert were let loose and came into the camp. See, it opened the door for these serpents to come in and start biting them. And the people started getting bit, and they were dying. They were dropping dead all over the place. Because of these fiery serpents that had been there all along, but couldn't touch them as long as they were worshiping. But when their worship turned to whining, the devil was able to come in. If you want to shut the door on the devil, just start praising God. It doesn't take a whole lot. Just start praising God. Just start magnifying him. Magnifying him. But to magnify all these other things above God is idolatry. It's idolatry. And that gives way to covetousness and all kinds of bad things. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter again. We'll try to read it this time. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can say, do not be conformed to the culture, to the ways of this world. We're not to be following this world, pattern our lives after this world. Now, that'd be that can be a little difficult because the world is around us all the time. And with the kind of media that we have today, I mean, there's things flashing and calling for our attention all the time. And all those things are trying to tell us how to think, how to dress, how to talk, how to walk, how to act, how to live, how to behave. All those things are talking to us all the time. But that's okay. You can't escape that. The influence of the world is around us as long as we're in the world. But we're okay so long as we are lifting up God in the midst of the world. We are thinking on Him. We are talking of Him. We are renewing our mind with His word. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many people want to walk in the perfect will of God for your life? Now, it's very interesting when it talks about renewing your mind and not being conformed to this world in its context. You got to look at verse 1. And again, what does he say? He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable can also translate spiritual. And service in the Greek language can also be translated worship. Spiritual worship. In fact, there's several translations in the Bible that say it that way. I typically read from the New King James Bible. The Amplified Bible says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves set apart as living sacrifices, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. That's the Amplified. See, he's talking about worship. The Christian Standard Bible, this is your true worship. The easy-to-read version says it this way, it is only right that you should worship Him in this way. The Evangelical Heritage Version, which is your appropriate worship. So again, and on and on and on, these scriptures talk about worship, worship, worship. So primarily then, when he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he's talking about our minds being renewed concerning worship. We need to get our minds renewed. We get our minds changed concerning worship. We're not to be conformed to the culture of this world, but we're to be conformed to the culture of heaven. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to the culture of heaven, which is a culture of worship. It's a culture of worship. And notice this, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Giving your bodies. Again, we see the elders, and there's so many scriptures along these lines of just falling down before God in worship, giving themselves, giving their bodies to the Lord like a living sacrifice. And that's what you and I need to be looking to do. And it's very interesting when you go back to the wise men, that they fell down and worshiped him, and then they presented these gifts. Myrrh was one of them. And myrrh is an ingredient used in embalming a corpse, embalming a dead person. That was one of the ingredients they used. Here we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. In other words, we're dying to this world, this world's ways, we're dying to ourselves, and we're coming, giving our bodies to the Lord for Him to put His life, His strength in these bodies, and for Him to live His life through us. When they worshiped Him, they brought myrrh, which we could say is a type of this living sacrifice, one of the ways we worship God, giving our bodies to him so that it's no longer I that live. I'm dead. I've been embalmed with the embalming fluid of heaven. Are you getting this? They put embalming fluid in me. And it's God. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I got this Holy Spirit living on the inside. I've died. They've embalmed me. Heaven has embalmed me with the Holy Spirit. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. That's the myrrh. Amen. That's the myrrh. And then the frankincense is a sweet fragrance that was used in incense. Well, over in 2 Corinthians, it talks about the knowledge of the Lord is a fragrance. And it's to be a fragrance in every place that we go. We're to be taking the knowledge of the Lord, which comes from the Word of God, the truth, and the presence of God. That incense is a type of his presence, filling the atmosphere. That should be all around us. And it was something used in worship. So worship is what? Worship is worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Worship him in spirit, in truth. Giving your life to him, a living sacrifice. And then, of course, the gold. It's amazing how people worship money. Money is such an idol. You start talking about money, people get so uptight. You know, that's my money. It's holy, consecrated, set apart for me. And meanwhile, no, everything is from him. Everything is for him. And when you believe that, then it isn't a problem giving your gold to him. It isn't a problem giving that to him. If you can give him your myrrh, if you can give him your life, your body, for him to live through you, completely give your life as a sacrifice to him, and worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, live your life according to the word of God, not according to the culture of this world. Then giving him your money, that's nothing to you. That's an easy thing. And even as you do that, he measures more back to you. He measures more back to you. Can you say amen? Praise God. We got to learn to worship him according to the scriptures. I see this church getting more radical, getting more intense. I see folks at the altar more often. I see people bowing down. I see people kneeling down. But not just here in church. You need to be doing it at home. Before you go to bed at night, hit the knees. Fall down. If you can't kneel down, bow down. But get before the, if you can fall down, that's even better. Fall down. Give your life to him. Speak these things. Declare your consecration to him. Lord, you're my everything. I'm nothing apart from you. I give you it all. I give you everything, God. And we do this throughout the day. And we don't do it just in a mechanical way. We're very conscious of the act of worship, but we're more conscious of him who we're worshiping. We're in awe of him. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord. Praise him. Praise him. Glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.